Go to Mark 8, if you would. Let's take a moment or two in the Word of God regarding what we're doing. I trust that there's an excitement in your heart. There's an excitement in mine, I can tell you. And those people that I've given them out to already, just well received so well. I just got better response than with just the track. I guess because of the size of it or something, there to them it appears to be, it's received with more value than just a little religious piece of paper, you know. And I tell them it's part of the Word of God. Most people, again, the Word of God, the Bible, this is so intimidating because it's so big and thick. I know when people first get saved, my goodness, how could you read through this thing? It's so big. And it can be intimidating. Think of the unsaved, see? But you tell them now, you know, you may never have read the Bible. Maybe you have, but, you know, there's two books of the Bible. The Bible's very thick, but here's just two books of it. I think a great place to start. Read it. Give it a going over. And if you did not know, in the, and I will get to where you're at. On the back of the, now the picture in the front is the Portland headlights, so it's personalized. It's regarding Portland, our community, our greater Portland area. And it's cut up into what appears to be jigsaw pieces, puzzle pieces. And there's one piece missing right in the middle. And it says John and Romans. Is something missing in your life? So a little bit of intrigue sparked some curiosity enough to open the thing. Now on the back, there's a letter written, and this is what's there. Of course, it says a gift from Grace Baptist Church, and it gives our address, phone number, our web address, that type of thing. At the bottom, the weekly schedule of our services. But in the middle, and then also that missing puzzle piece is there. It says this, dear friend, do you feel that something is missing in your life? Have you tried various ways to fill that emptiness? Many have tried entertainment, sports, hobbies, drugs, alcohol, immorality, and even religion, only to find those to be temporary fixes, religion in and of itself. The true answer lies in a person, not a thing or things, and he is found in the Bible. I have met many people with various attitudes towards the Bible. Whatever their belief, my next question often is, have you ever completely read through any one book of the Bible? Most often the honest answer is no. Please accept this gift from Grace Baptist Church family. This gift is designed to give you a taste of what the Bible is all about. It contains two books of the Bible. John is a gospel book that gives a narrative of the life of Jesus Christ. Romans is an epistle or a letter from the Apostle Paul that gives an explanation of key doctrines or truths of Christianity. The extra pages at the end give a further explanation of the gospel. If you will read the enclosed pages with an open mind and an honest heart, truly seeking truth, you will find the answer to what is missing in your life, Jesus Christ. Only a personal relationship with him can fill the void. My prayer is that you will continue to read these two books of the Bible. If you would like more information, please give us a call, or better yet, come visit us at one of our weekly services. You'll be warmly welcomed. Your friend, Pastor Gary Ouellette. So I'm hoping that there's enough interest in here, enough challenge or provoking curiosity for them to indeed open the book. Additionally, in here, it's noted at the front, a marked edition, see page 43. And it's actually a little roadmap of sorts. And on page 43, you would find underlined a particular verse that speaks of point number one. So at 43, I look for the verse underlined that says, under verse 323, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a little number one there. The bottom of the page, it says, now turn to page 47. So you turn to 47, and sure enough, there's another verse that's underlined. So it's a map, and this is 623. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Point two. And again at the bottom page, sends them along this roadmap to familiarize themselves a little bit with the Romans Road, though it's all concisely in the back. So I think it's a well-designed book. We did not design the book. We put words to the back. But I believe that God is really going to use this. Now, in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You can lose everything else in your life, but losing your soul is an eternal thing. Verse 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And there have been those who have opted to give their soul for whatever in life. Some it's because they want the things that this world has to offer, fame, fortune, and whatnot. And they're wanting that as opposed to what's after. They don't care what's after. Some are not sure what's after. Some have no knowledge of what's after. But you and I know what's after. And it's either one place or the other, see? The only thing in this life is that's eternal is your soul. It's the souls of men. By the way, we've got the new lights are installed in those first couple of rows there. You see how much brighter than it is. Thank you, Mark Sorrell. You put those lights in there. Where was I going with the lights? Light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But people can't see the value of their soul unless somebody else tells them. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible speaks of the fact that how can they hear without a preacher? And how beautiful are the feet of them. We're supposed to give them the gospel. They don't know. I didn't know particularly. I've had this idea when I was growing up, though I had religion, that there was a heaven and a hell. And so I had some idea of what's afterwards, but never had particularly fear. Most people have no fear because they don't know. Some have no fear because they may know, but they're under some false, deceptive idea that I'm covered, I'm all set. And I was pretty much living under that. I'm all set, I'm all set. Those that tried to approach me with the gospel, I'm all set. I'm all set. I wasn't all set. But it's the word of God that brought me to that place to know I wasn't all set. So it's so essential we get the word of God in their hands. It's not particularly our words that win people to Christ. It's what we share of the word of God. The Spirit of God uses the words of God. How valuable is an eternal soul? Your eternal soul, your spouse's, your children's, your parents', your friends', your co-workers', your neighbors. How valuable is their soul? There's nothing more valuable because there's nothing else eternal. Is your soul or the souls of those you love any more valuable than the souls of others? Now see, now we start this area of responsibility. I'm saved, praise the Lord. My soul has eternal value and I know where my soul will spend eternity. I know where I'm going to be for eternity. Was I more important than anybody else? No. This idea of saying, okay, Lord, you saved me, you love others. I need to love them too. Their soul is indeed valuable. Jesus didn't suffer and die on the cross out of love for just me, for each and every man's eternal soul. Amen? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Not just your name. And yes, you can put your name in there. He loved you individually. But he loves the whole world, the souls of all men. Even the wicked men. And the scribes and the Pharisees, you should charge Jesus because you're spending time with all these sinners. Well, they have a need of physician, remember? He didn't spend time with those that have no need of physician. He's the great physician. And he spent time with them and because he valued their souls. And though they were considered the lowly of society, see, they have eternal souls as well. And it's not for us to pick and choose All souls are valuable to God. 2 Peter 3:9 speaks of the fact that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, that the value of an eternal soul. How wonderful it is when somebody gets saved. The Bible tells us there's joy in heaven over one. Every time somebody trusts Christ as Savior, there's joy in heaven. Well, that seems like a bit much, isn't it? Well, heaven knows the value of a soul. Every single one matters. Is not as an invitation given to all men? Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Just reminders of truths that you know and I know, but that it might encourage us and strengthen us in our pursuit of getting these brochures, these booklets out to people with the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Define whosoever. It's everybody. Every single person. Jesus died for every single person. The invitation to repent and trust Christ as Savior has to be extended to them. They can't receive Christ if they don't know of Christ. Verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They got to be sent. You know what this kickoff is about? Being sent. I know many of us have started already, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But at some point, I just wanted to get together and certainly explain the mechanics of the thing, but most importantly, to encourage us, to charge us, the value of souls, eternal souls, and to thank God that you're saved. Thank God you know Jesus, your personal Savior, your sins forgiven, you haven't bound, but others need to hear, and they can't hear unless somebody tells them. And that's what you're doing with each one that you hand out. You're giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, eternal souls will spend eternity either in the glories of heaven, in the presence of Almighty God, or in the torments and agonies of eternal hell fire. Revelation 20. Now, we as Christians know this truth, but we don't even like to entertain the thought of hell. It's too awful. But that doesn't make it less real. It is real. And verses 14 and 15 of Revelation 20 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, there's the first death. And everybody understands that in the world. I mean, everybody knows we're going to die. And whether they prepare for it spiritually or in any other way or not is not the big point. The point is they're going to die and they know that. But after they die, where do they go? Well, the second death is a spiritual separation. 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How'd your name get in there? Well, you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Religion didn't put your name down. Religion didn't put my name down. Grace Baptist Church didn't put my name down in that book. My name was written down because Jesus saved my soul and it was in a personal relationship with him. But somebody approached me. Somebody got my nose into the Bible. Somebody sparked my curiosity enough. And hopefully that's what we're going to do when we provide these things. And because of a truth, if their name's not there, they won't be there. So may that be an encouragement to us. The seriousness that we might be dedicated and do it on purpose. Not just out of convenience. In Matthew 25, you turn there. Verse 30 gives us a little added insight into hell. It was, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping we're familiar with, the demonstration of sadness, pain, grief, whatever. Gnashing of teeth. Maybe you've never gnashed your teeth because you've never hurt that bad, but when people are really in serious pain, whether they move their jaws or not, their teeth are tightly crushed together. Of moving them at all refers to gnashing. And I've never done that, never had any cause to do that. But I can imagine if I was ever brought to that, it would be because of extreme pain. And God chose to put the words in the Bible here, give us a little insight, that hell is awful. And outer darkness. The Bible says in Revelation 20 that it speaks of a lake of fire. Well, with fire comes light, but there's no light. There's fires of hell, but there's no light. Darkness. And it's a spirit of falling. Falling and falling and never having something to grab onto to stop. We just can't conceive hell. So God gives us little bits and pieces. No more than we can truly conceive heaven, how great that heaven is. So he gives us little glimpse, little pictures, whatnot, that we can sort of have an idea, but that's the best that we can do. But hell is real, and that's what this whole campaign's about, getting people out of there, bringing people to Jesus. And then what are you going to do if you come up to a house and all of a sudden they come out of the door? What are you going to say to them? You know, the Bible says that we're be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Why do you have that hope in you? You really think you're going to heaven? You know, no, I know I'm going to heaven. Wow, that sounds a little cocky. Well, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You can know it. So it's not cockiness on my part. I'm just believing what the Bible says. See? And that assurance, that confidence. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. So I want to take a few minutes and address what if you do come across somebody and talk with them. Maybe an avenue to take. Certainly Paul's goal in life was to win Christ, people to Christ. Soul winning was what he was about. 1 Corinthians 9, we'll pick it up at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. We'll read several verses. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." So Paul's saying, I take no pride in this. It's not about me. And certainly it's not about us. I did 5 maps. It's not about how many maps you do. Paul says, "I have nothing to glory of." He says this, "For necessity is laid upon me." I have to do this. Something that compelled him to. The trust that we're is compelled. "Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? I have this dispensation, this commission, you and I all do. What is my reward then? Verily, that with when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Under, you've got it all, man. If you're saved, you got it all. But it doesn't end there. There's others that need to hear as well. "Make your servant to all," verse 19, 20. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, she's about the Jews and the Gentiles, the major division, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. In other words, everybody, see, the religious, the non-religious, the Jew, and all others, others professing Christianity, but not having the true gospel. The labels are not the important things. I'm a servant to all. You know who deserves to get one of these from me? Everyone. 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Not everyone. We're not deceived into thinking everyone's going to get saved. We put out 5,000, 5,000 are getting saved, 5,000 are getting baptized. We got to build onto the building. That all sounds great, and I'm all for it. We want to save some. We have opportunity to do so. And I am fully convinced that God is going to bless the effort. The people are going to be saved. And added to the church. I believe that. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that it might be partaker thereof with you. So our goal in life should also be soul winning like Paul's, because all men deserve our full effort. I trust we'll take that to heart, get busy with it. So just four things to keep in mind if you do come across with somebody. Number one, don't get in an argument with people. Come friendly, leave friendly. Make a friend, right? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So if you really want them to receive the booklet and to read it, be friendly. Smile on your face. What about if their response is negative or bad? Be friendly. See? Hi, I'm just out in the neighborhood checking on how people are doing. And we're given little parts of the Bible. It's not the whole Bible, but just a couple of books of the Bible. And it's a gift from our church. I'd like to give this to you. Be friendly. Be kind. Wear a smile. That's a good thing. Wearing a smile. I'm just out in the neighborhood giving these booklets. They'll shut the door. Creepy. Make a friend. Be happy about what you're doing. You're doing the greatest work there is on the planet. Discern their spiritual condition. Don't assume they're saved. And some will come out with words and they're just kind of deceiving their own selves, but try to deceive you. Oh, yeah. I go to church down here, yeah. Oh, who's the pastor there now? We learned that long ago, that while people say they're associated with the church, very few of them actually are. Assume they're not saved. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's truth. It's either one or the other. So you might say, let me ask you this, sir. Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to heaven? 9 times out of 10, they won't say 100. Do you give you any other figure? What does that tell you? They're not. They're not saved. They don't have that full assurance, that full confidence. They're not born again. They can be very religious. They can quote you all kinds of, even Bible. They can quote you all kinds of religious books, memorize prayers. Man, they can really snowball you, you know. If they say anything other than 100%, they're not saved. See? So, offering that, are you 50% sure, or 75%, or 100% sure? If you died, you'd go to heaven. Probably 50, 60. They're not saved. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, believing in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's 100%. That's 100%. So, give them a verse. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Bible, the Word of God. We've talked before about how we battle temptations of sin. It's with verses. How did Jesus win victory over the temptations after being 40 days in the desert? When the devil himself tempting him. It is written. It is written. It is the word of God the Holy Spirit uses. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you say, can I share with you at least one Bible verse? One Bible verse. If he answers no, say, well, can I pray with you? You know, a lot of tough things in life going on. And perhaps some things are going wrong, that are tough in your life. You know, we have several people in our church fighting some real tough diseases, you know, and cancer and whatnot. Is there anything I can pray for you with? Then pray out loud that his eyes and heart will be open to the Bible truth of how to be saved, because you pray the gospel to him. Lord, I'm praying for this man. He says his wife is very ill and this, that, whatever. And I pray, Lord, they'd come to the knowledge, Father, of knowing Jesus as your Savior. For indeed, Father, I know that I was a sinner. And though I'm still a sinner, I'm a saved sinner, Father, because I believed the Bible says, and you preach the gospel while you're praying. It's a good thing. You're witnessing to them. And they really don't know it, see? So, assume that they make a friend, be friendly, discern their spiritual condition, give them a verse. What if they say yes? Okay, I'll hear one verse from you. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sir, can you point to a time and a place when you were born again? They may not even know what it means. See? You're helping them to come to the place of understanding, hey, I'm not that. So then you can perhaps expand. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter in, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They're the ones, the born-again ones. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, sir, according to the Bible, where do sinners go? Hell. Yeah. Except if they're born again, you see. And it can open up the conversation. Ultimately, to help them understand they're not saved. If they're not saved, they're not born again, they're not going to heaven. Heaven. That they're on the road to hell, see. Well, let me share with you, sir, what the Bible says. Then draw the net in, man. Lead them to Christ. It can happen. One visit. You don't know how many other visits or interactions they've had with somebody giving witness, sharing the gospel with them. It could be the time that they are ripe and ready, you see. You don't push it. You don't force it. But you keep offering. And by the way, with a smile, show that you have assurance. See? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope. Show you have that hope. Remember, hope not I wish for, I am confident of, that in the future I'll be in heaven. Confident. Show the assurance. Saved or not, when you leave there, leave the door open. Could I stop by maybe another time again? And maybe I could bring you something else you'd like to read and this and that. Always leave the door open. Well, we certainly invite you to the church. And on there it gives our time, our services and all. So we'd like to have you come. And I can tell you this, that you'll be warmly welcomed. And a lot of people fear about standing out and feeling awkward in a new place. Our people won't let that happen. You come, and you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy the music. It's great. We have a great choir, and really a wonderful choir. Talk it up, man. I trust that's what you feel, that's what you believe, and that you'll encourage them to come. So these are just some thoughts about what to share if you get that opportunity. And I would encourage you to be prepared before you go. Think on those things. What you would say. Maintaining a smile. And actually praying that God bring that person out. I think we can gain far more talking than we're just leaving that. Ultimately, we want them to be saved. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great opportunity to be obedient to the Great Commission. And Father, we recognize that we have a responsibility and that it shouldn't be something that we shun or try to look away from, but that we would embrace. We look forward with great anticipation and excitement as we hand out the Word of God, because truly we acknowledge we were saved because of the Word of God. And it's that which the Holy Spirit uses to bring conviction of sin and the need of a Savior. Father, you'll open eyes. It's not for us to open eyes. We just share things. I pray, God, you'd bless our church, bless every single member who takes part, be it in prayer or praying and going and handing out these things. And may you bless this campaign, this effort, this specific effort, Lord, and bless our church for it. Ultimately, we'll look for souls, eternal souls, to be saved. And yes, added to the church, Father. You're the one who adds to the church. So thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity. Thank you for saving us. Bless our church, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.